Madison Bell, welcome back to The Signal.
Well, it's nice to be back on The Signal.
Now, the last time you were here, we were discussing your novel, The Color of Night. What you're mainly known for, I think people think of you as a novelist, the novelist Madison Smart Bell. But here you have, your latest book is a collection of short stories. What made you release this now?
Well, there was an opportunity, and I didn't think it was going to come out any other way. I used to write 4 or 5 short stories a year, and in the 80s and early 90s, I had 2 books of stories that were well received, and then for whatever reason, that energy kind of withered on me. So I found myself writing stories maybe one a year, and I had a big enough pile for a book, and an opportunity to do it with Concord Free Press came along, and I thought that might be an interesting thing to try. Publishing is changing very drastically and rather painfully these last few years, and I thought an alternative method with a book of stories might be an interesting thing to do.
Well, I want to talk about the book itself, but you mentioned the changing nature of publishing, and this publication is very interesting, this project. I wonder if you could explain a little bit about how this book came to be, or what the sort of nature of this book is a little different than your traditional book.
Well, the book was at a certain point, which is now a long time ago, I thought, well, I've got enough stories for a book here, and I'll call it Zigzag Wanderer after one of the stories and after the Captain Beefheart song. And at that point, all the stories in the book had titles that were taken from pieces of music, and my idea was that would be the binder for creating a kind of concept for a book of stories. And the publishing problem with a book of stories is if they're all sort of interestingly different, how do you sell it? You know, how do you say, you know, normally a novelist, basically it's all Cheerios or it's all cornflakes. A book of stories, if it's a good book of stories, to me, it's got a Cheerio here and a raisin there, and you know, it's the contents are not all that self-similar. So that seemed to me to be a kind of device. But I never did publish it under that umbrella, and ended up, years go by, I write my one story a year, and I had a handful that weren't related to the concept, and I started talking to Stone of Fish at Concord Free Press, and that is a project where they print books and give them away. Nobody ever makes any money except charities do, because the idea is that if you receive one of these books, and you can order them, bookstores carry them, but they don't make any money on them. But the person who takes the book is morally obligated to commit a random act of kindness or senseless act of beauty, or basically give somebody something.
Mm-hmm. And then pass the book along to another person.
Right, and every non-transaction confers the same obligation, so it can add up. And some people, not all, report their gifts back to the press, and so they have a record of the amount of charitable contribution that's generated by each book, and then I think the average is around $40,000. It's actually pretty good. Part of Stone of Fitch's concept is the value of creating something beautiful, in his phrase, and giving it away instead of trying to sell it.
Which is a real departure from traditional publishing, where, you know, there's money up front and money must be made, and, you know, you hope that your book makes a little money, but you never know.
Well, in the case of short story collections, most of them lose. And they don't even generate as much money as what we're talking about, you know, this $40,000 number. I mean, that would be, if I'd published this book through a regular channel, it would have been unlikely to actually earn that much.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of a paradigm shift. I mean, it's become very unclear how artists are going to earn a living from their work, and that problem hasn't been solved yet.
Right. But if you're a band, you can go on tour, but if you're a short story writer, it's a little more difficult to get people to come, the huge crowds to come out.
Well, we do go on tour, but they're usually not stadium tours.
Right. That would be an interesting concept. Well, and Captain Beefheart, of course, Zigzag Wanderer being one of the great, great songs by Captain Beefheart. But why Captain Beefheart?
Well, my Captain Beefheart obsession probably peaked in the early 90s when I listened to Nothing But for several months.
That's a little bit weird.
It is. Well, it does things to your brain. Mm-hmm. Musically, also, I play guitar poorly, and I started trying to learn some of these songs, and I couldn't do it. I just really couldn't do it. The tempos are too peculiar. Everything about it is completely anarchic. It's like trying to play, you know, a high-level jazz. And the two stories that are directly related to Captain Beefheart are titled from two Captain Beefheart songs, Petrified Forest and Zigzag Wanderer. And Petrified Forest is actually a story about a musician in Baltimore who lives a very apparently ugly, abrasive life. And that to me related to the music, because a lot of Captain Beefheart music is on the surface until you kind of are won over by it, abrasive and disconcerting and kind of ugly. And the stories that are related directly to Captain Beefheart songs are supposed to be like that. The characters come across very alien. What the Zigzag Wanderer character is, by normal standards, seriously crazy. But you begin to understand that he's got terms for his existence that make sense to him, and you know.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the characters in several of these stories that seem a little alien is a good word for it. They seem of a place, but not really of a place at the same time. And I think that's something a lot of us can relate to.
Well, one of the sociological conditions of our time is that most middle-class, college-educated people are wanderers. Actually, it's very few of them live in the town that they grew up in. And so there's usually this pattern of nomadism for people who would be readers and not just characters.
Well, you mentioned having the energy or losing the energy to write short stories, and I wonder how creating short stories is different from creating a novel for you. Like, what, you know, is there such an economy of words and space, and creating characters to populate those stories must be a very different exercise.
Well, I'm sure it varies from writer to writer, and there are some writers who do nothing but for me, a short story would be what, for people who write poetry, a lyric poem would be, that the idea forms unconsciously and then kind of completes itself at an unconscious level, and then I can execute it in a flash, basically, in one or two sittings without any real planning.
Lucky for you.
Lucky for me. I mean, I draw on skills that I've acquired in order to be able to do that, in the same way that musicians who improvise actually spend a lot of their other time practicing scales and so on. So they have this bag of tricks and a set of capabilities, and so I would have that in the writing of these short stories, but they would seem to come out of nowhere and be effortlessly achieved for the most part. The great exception in this book is my 9/11 story, Fall on Me, which was written within a week or two of the planes hitting the towers. It's the most painful writing experience I ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, that showed up in your previous novel as well, that event and those kind of those sorts of tragedies that we all experience collectively. But then we re-experience these tragedies together. That seemed like it made a real impression on you.
Well, it was a national event enabled by television, and I remember the morning it happened. We got a call from California. We don't normally have a TV on, especially in the morning, and just to turn on the TV. And so we watched, my wife and I, for about half an hour. And at that point, I got it and left the room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought I left the room, but you can't, of course, leave a room, because any room you went into for the next 3 months had the same show.
But did the writing about it, was that sort of a cathartic thing? Or
Yeah, it was. I mean, in a difficult and unpleasant way. I mean, I felt like I had to represent all points of view faithfully, including the points of view of the terrorists and the groups of people who were going to be killed in these incidents in the buildings and in the planes. So that was really hard. That was painful, and I did it deliberately. I mean, I did have a little flash of an idea. I see how I can do this, but then the execution was it was like pulling out my own teeth with pliers.
Well, maybe that would be something good for a lot of people to do, to sort of, you know, exercise their demons about these things from time to time. And, you know, music, you're a musician, and I think, you know, you were always very humble about your musical abilities, but I believe you are a fairly accomplished musician at this point.
I'm okay.
Well, that's better than most of us.
I'm a decent journeyman. I'm actually proud of that, because that's a skill I acquired with some difficulty. I had to work at it. Mm-hmm. Writing's always been fairly easy to me.
Yeah. But how does playing music, do you think that that's changed some of your approach to writing stories?
Oh, for sure. Well, I've always written for the ear. That's my nature. I write for sound, and I grew up in the Nashville area, so music was kind of inevitable. My father was a very accomplished amateur musician. I started playing guitar on his guitar at a young age. So I've always hacked around on stringed instruments. And it affects the way I structure things in fiction. It affects the way I phrase. Yeah. It's a big part of everything.
Yeah. Well, Madison Smart Bell, thanks once again for joining us here on The Signal.
It's been a pleasure.
Madison Smart Bell's new collection of short stories is Zigzag Wanderer, published by Concord Free Press. Zigzag Wanderer is free. By taking a copy, you agree to make a financial contribution to a cause or person of your choice, and then pass the book along to someone else, for free naturally, so they can also give. You can request a copy of the book, and also see where some of the goodwill and money has gone, online at concordfreepress.com. For The Signal, I'm Lisa Morgan.